You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
After almost 3 years of drafting and consultation, the new history curriculum for school students has been released. Last week, my producer Alex talked to Brooke Van Velden on our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party about their position on the curriculum. We had some quite interesting feedback on that, and he wanted to follow up on that this week. So this morning, Alex spoke with Pauline Cleaver, the Associate Deputy Secretary from the Ministry of Education, to talk about the curriculum, who was involved in its drafting, and what the main goals of the curriculum are. Here they are now.
Pauline, could you briefly describe the Aotearoa New Zealand History's curriculum?
I'd describe it as a wonderful opportunity for creating curiosity and developing empathy amongst our young people. I think the curriculum is going to give us a really awesome opportunity to see our young people, you know, understand the connections between place and events that have created and shaped this country. And through that, you know, be very informed citizens, you know, being able to take that learning through to the future decisions they will make for their whānau and our community. I think the big ideas, the context and the inquiry processes that young people will go through will give them a different opportunity than we've had in the past to think critically, making sense and learning from the different perspectives of the diverse people that make up this country.
And when you talk about having a different kind of understanding and something that enables them and empowers them going forward, what are those key goals there that you're hoping to empower students with, and how do you expect them to have a deeper understanding of New Zealand and Aotearoa?
The big ideas of the curriculum around Māori history being continuous and important, that's a crucial understanding that young people need to grow up and thinking about both locally what it means in their local area, but also how that's shaped us nationally through things like the signing of Te Reti or Waitangi, the issues of colonisation and settlement of other people into Aotearoa and the impact they've had on growing our society and the way we live and work with each other, how people have used power to shape New Zealand and its histories and its contribution, and the relationships we have with each other, both locally, nationally, globally, that connect us and give us a sense of who we are and how we stand in the world.
Those are obviously like quite lofty goals that are very complex in nature. How were they constructed and who had input into the construction of those goals?
We worked with a lot of people over the course of developing these goals, the curriculum content, and then the resources that sit alongside that. This included, you know, historians, education experts, teachers, young people themselves, community, iwi, a range of interests that came through. And these four big ideas stood out over the time. They were added to and consolidated as we came to settling on the final content for the curriculum and informed by the commentary we got from the different expert groups, such as the Royal Society report, but also from testing the content inside classrooms with teachers and young people.
Just touching on the Royal Society review, which you mentioned, how did the curriculum change following their review in May 2021? What are the key differences of the curriculum that was published last week and the one they looked at last year?
I think the big changes that improved on the draft included the addition of the context around economic activity. I think that was missing from the original draft in an explicit way. And so pulling that out and making that much more explicit around our economic life and integrating that into the content, that was one big addition and change. Women's histories, I mean, we're a proud nation leading in women's rights, and making sure that came through much more explicitly was another addition. And then the third one was a pre-European Māori's histories focus as well, so that you know, we didn't give the impression that Māori history started when white people arrived, and that wasn't as explicit in the original either. On top of that, also the Royal Society called out the need to make sure we had the right resources and supports for teachers and communities that engage in this content now and into the future.
So in terms of, I guess, going backwards from that Royal Society a little bit more, how were different parts of our history assessed and how were they merited in terms of their inclusion into this curriculum, both as a result of the Royal Society inquiry and prior to that through all these consultations you're talking about?
Well, we had, you know, as well as the Royal Society report, we had over 5,000 submissions from the community on the content. And that's a significant amount of information to support settling on what should be included in a national curriculum. One of the things the ministry needed to work out was how did we make sure we didn't crowd the national curriculum and not leave space for the very important local histories components and that local schools and communities saw as vitally important for their own curriculum. And so we had to weigh up that balance, making sure that we didn't overcrowd with national context. We also had to make sure that the learning was appropriate to the age and stages of young people. So, you know, very young children at age 5 learning about the treaty is quite different than the in-depth look our senior students will be undertaking. And so we had to look at making sure the content was age appropriate. And then we wanted to make sure also that the content that we included fitted with the key competencies of the curriculum and were aligned to the vision for young people and that the curriculum has. So all of that work was undertaken. And then there was quite significant and positive comments about the big ideas and the content as we analysed the submissions people made, and so that shaped really what was the final draft. Important to note that in doing that, we did get a lot of positive comments around the importance of Māori histories, but we also wanted to make sure that other people in New Zealand, other nationalities, other groups of people could see themselves also in their histories clear and explicit in the curriculum content. So we made sure that was part of the final draft as well.
And that follows on to my next question quite well, which is, what is your response to those who say that the new curriculum focuses excessively on Māori and colonial history at the expense of other facets of our history?
Oh, like I said, no doubt about it. We had a lot of positive comments around the inclusion of Māori history in this final curriculum content. But people also wanted to make sure that we had a focus on our multicultural histories and those histories that focused on other groups of people. So, you know, we definitely wanted to include, for example, capturing the immigration of the Pacific peoples or Chinese, for example, but also call out the important roles we've played in people's rights for different groups of people over time, and at times being world leading in that.
And when you're talking about those other events, those world leading events, what specifically are you talking about?
Oh, I think our leadership and women's rights, the things the progress we've made with people with disabilities, the roles we've played in international conflicts through our peacekeeping type roles, etc., are all really important parts of helping our young people understand who we are as a people, the empathy and compassion we have as a nation for ourselves and for others around us.
That was Pauline Cleaver, the Associate Deputy Secretary from the Ministry of Education, speaking with Alex about the new history curriculum.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.